You know, sometimes we have times where we experience the presence of the Lord, and it's just sometimes it overwhelms us. So it's good. That's what we want. We want to experience God's presence. We want to know Him. How many of you enjoyed Mark Davey last week? It was good, eh? Just so you all know, the offering last week just for Mark Davey was like $6,200. So thank you for being faithful. Really good. It's really good. He's all over, you know, he's in places where most of us would never go, you know, ministering in South Sudan and Uganda and Pakistan and all over the place, risking his life and serving God. But I just was really pleased that we could share that much with him. It's really good. So today I want to continue with our series, Living in His Presence. I want to pray first. So Lord, we come before you, Lord, with your word open, Lord, ready to hear from you, ready to, Lord, take what we hear and, Lord, do what your word says. Lord, we honor your word today. Lord, we honor you today. And, Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts and to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we walk through our Christian life, you know, like I've been a Christian since I was about 8, 9 years old. I think I got baptized when I was 9 years old. And so that's, you know, more than 40 years, 43 years I've been walking with the Lord. And so over the course of time, we have times where we have a real intimate relationship with God. And then at other times, we're very religious, right? Like we come and do our Christian thing. We come to church. We dot our I's. We cross our T's. We tick the boxes. Yeah, I showed up this morning. Yeah, I sang. Yeah, I heard God's word. Yeah, yeah. And then I go back to my life, and sometimes God doesn't really make that much difference in our everyday life. So it's really important, and this is one of the reasons I'm talking about this year, living in the presence of God, because I don't think God ever meant it to be that way. I don't think that God ever meant for us to have a relationship with Him that was hot and cold. I think He wanted us to walk in relationship with Him in a way that we would commune with Him, that we would sense His presence, that we would be able to talk to Him, that He would respond to us, right? God still speaks. He still speaks to us today. And He made a way for us to be in relationship with Him, right? Before Jesus came, before Jesus hung on the cross, before, you know, the sky went dark and the curtain split, right, between the Holy of Holies and the holy place, we were separated from God by sin. We couldn't have an intimate relationship with Him. We could, at certain times, people drew near because the Holy Spirit came upon them. But most of the time, people worship from afar. But God has called us to draw near to Him. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. I've lived life both ways. I've lived life away from God and I've lived life drawing near to God. And I'm going to tell you, living near God is better. So we want to live in His presence. Now, we talked last time, 2 weeks ago, about the difference between His omnipresence and His manifest presence. We talked about the fact that there was a difference. Omnipresent God is everywhere all the time. David said in the Psalms, where can I go to get away from you? Can I go to the highest heights, deep seas? I can go nowhere where your presence is not there. So obviously, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But there's a difference between omnipresent and manifest present. Because Adam and Eve lived in the presence of God. Remember we read that they walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and then they sinned, and then they went out of the presence of God, is what the Bible says. And then when we looked at Cain and Abel, and Cain, you know, brought a sacrifice that wasn't pleasing to God, and Abel brought one that was, and he was ticked off, and he killed Abel, and God had a talk with him and says, you got to get your attitude straightened out. And Cain refused, and the Bible said, and Cain left the presence of the Lord. If we live in His omnipresence, if that's the only kind of presence of God that we can live in, then we can't leave that presence. Does that make sense? We can only leave his presence if there's something more than the omnipresence of God. We read about Jonah, who God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. There's these people here. I know you hate them, but I want you to reach them. I want you to go tell them that I'm angry, but if they'll repent, I'll forgive them. And Jonah's like, no way, I'm going the other way. And the Bible teaches that, and if you read in Jonah, it says that Jonah left the presence of the Lord. And then it goes on a few verses later, and it says he got on a ship going away from the presence of the Lord. So there was an actual presence that was intimate and manifest, and there's a presence that just God is everywhere. And so we talked about wanting to live in his manifest presence. That's the presence of God you feel, many people do, when we worship. I'm always thankful to our worship team. They come up here, they lead us, and we get to experience God's presence as they lead us in worship. We get to experience. The Bible said whenever we gather together in his name, that he's among us. It's more special among than just omnipresent. We get to experience his presence. And I'm always thankful that we can have that choice at that time to enter into the presence of God. This morning it was beautiful. I was like, when we were singing Ever Be, you know, I was like, oh God, I'm so in love with you. I love you so much. I just could sense his presence and feel his presence. And he wants us to live in a place where we know he's with us. God is not just a wooden idol. He's not just a God that is built by man, but he's ever been. He's been from before we know. He's going to be here forever and ever. And he loved us and cared for us, created us. So it's really important for us to understand the manifest presence of God, because that's why Jesus came, to bring us back into the presence of the Lord. When we look at the Old Testament, the priest would go once a year into the presence of God. Before they went, they had to make all these sacrifices and all these cleansing rituals, like ceremonial cleansing and stuff. And then they would go into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of the Lord was, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And even after all their cleansing, all their rituals, still many of them died when they went in that part. They died. They fell dead. The tradition says they had little bells around the bottom of their robe, so that if people stopped hearing the bells, they had a rope tied to their leg and they would drag them back out. That's what tradition says. But the truth is, like we now though can come boldly, the Bible says, into the throne room of grace to ask for help in our time of need. It's we can come there boldly, right? So we can now come into the presence of God. There's no separation between us and God. In James chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, it says, therefore, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded ones. If we can draw near to God, it must mean that we can draw away from God. Does that make sense? We're not forced to be with God. God is not forcing anyone to follow him. God is not forcing anyone to spend time with him. He wants us to draw near. So there is something more than just omnipresence. We can draw near to him in a way that we can understand and know that we've been with him. I think, you know, it was the disciples when they came up in front of the Sanhedrin. They said of the disciples, it's obvious that they've been with Jesus. Well, I hope that we would know that it's obvious that we've been with Jesus, that in our hearts we would know we've been with him. So why do we need to experience the presence of the Lord? That is the manifest, God with us, I know I was with him kind of presence of God. Why would that be important? So that's what I want to sort of talk about this morning, just for a little while. I'm going to try to keep it a little short this morning because we want to pray for the families here and for people here this morning. We just want to bless you going into the new year. So I'm going to try and keep this a little bit shorter. So why do we need to experience the presence of the Lord? So in Psalm 4, verse 6 to 8, it says this. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Jehovah, lift up the light of your face on us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their grain and their wine increased. I will lie down both in peace and in sleep, for you alone, Jehovah, make me dwell in safety. When you were a kid, or as a parent, have you ever said to your kids, look at me? Hey, look at me when I'm talking to you. Anybody ever have that happen? Look at me. Why do we do that? They're in the same room. We're in the same atmosphere, right? We're together in the atmosphere, right? But we want the focus to be on what we're saying. We want to know that not only are you in the room, but we're in the same place, in the same headspace, that we're thinking along the same lines at that time. And I think that's what David is trying to say in this verse. God, look upon me. Look upon me. Look on me, right? Pay attention to me. David, I think he understood that when you have a face-to-face relationship with God, that having him in your space can make a big effect on your life. He makes a big effect on your life. I'm telling you, in relationship with God, life is so much better. What was the effect that David mentioned here from having God look upon his face? He said, gladness of heart more than any, right? What he said was, more than in the time of their grain and their wine increased, right? More than any stimulant could replace, could make. Better than any meal, right, that you could have. God's presence is better than that. Gladness of heart more than anything. Peace of mind and sound sleep because you know that in relationship with him, you're safe. When we're in relationship with God, he keeps us. He holds us. He carries us. It's important for us when we're going through times to lean into him, to expect him to work in our life, to expect him to step in, to hold us, to care about us, to make us feel safe. The only way to really have gladness of heart that's lasting is in the presence of God. There's nothing in this world that will keep you glad. If you're married, we already talked about married, right? Married people have problems. Sometimes you're glad, sometimes you're sad, sometimes you're mad. Sometimes marriage is great. Other times you're like, what did I do this for? Right? And kids, right? Kids are awesome, right? Until you try to put them in bed at night. Or until they start rebelling or whatever, then they're not so great, right? Or the stuff, our jobs, our careers, sometimes they're awesome. Sometimes we wake up in the morning, we can't wait to start. Other times, it's like, oh God, it's Monday, right? All those things, they bring gladness for a time, but gladness of heart is lasting in the presence of God. The only way to have real rest and peace is to dwell in his presence. Is like peace of mind, peace of heart is hard to find sometimes in the world we live in. But if we would just rest in the presence of God, if we would just take time to meet with him, he would change us. And again, it's his manifest presence that he's talking about. He's like, look at me, right? It's not like, oh, I know you're here. He's saying, God, look at me. Look upon me. Look in my face, right? It's something that you can't get from drugs, you can't get from drinking, you can't get from sex, you can't get from food, you can't get from thrill-seeking. It's something that you can only get from God. So Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you make the path of life known to me. Complete joy is in your presence. Pleasures are by your side forever. When we're in the manifest presence of God, he guides our path and our ways. How many of you ever think you need some guidance? Hey, how many of you know exactly how the rest of your life should play out? You all have a clear plan for the rest of it. Right? We need God's guidance. We need him to show us the way. We need him to light our path for us. The Bible says that your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We need his guidance. And in his presence, his verse says, right, that you make the path of life known to me. And then it says, complete joy is in your presence. It's in another version, it says, In your presence is fullness of joy, in another version, right? The word fullness there actually means satisfaction. It's a feeling of had just the right amount and recognize it as that, right? To have just the right amount and recognize it as that. On Tuesday night, as a family, we went to a Leafs game. First time ever. I'm 52. I went to a Leafs game. It's kind of cool. I don't even like hockey, really, to be honest. Sorry, but it's not my thing, right? But we went to a Leafs game, and we went down to Burlington, and we got on the train, and we're riding the train together, and we were having fun. We were talking, and we were laughing, and we were having a good time. We were just having a great time, actually. And I was sitting there after a while. Now, again, I'm a bit of a pest, so I was having some fun bugging too, right? But so anyway, I was sitting there and I was looking out the window, right? And I just had this big smile on my face. And Christine's like, "Why do you have that silly grin on your face?" Right? Because I was just teasing her a minute before that, so she just probably figured I was getting ready to tease her again, right? But I was like sitting there and I didn't know what to say except I was just really happy. I'm really happy. And I didn't know how else to describe it. But as I was thinking about it later in the evening, I was thinking, you know, like here we are as a family, right? I have two sons, 20 and 18, and my wife. And we've been married it's going to be 24 years this year. And we actually like each other. All of us. We actually have fun together. When we go on holidays, I don't have to talk my kids into going on holidays with us. We actually enjoy going out together. We actually enjoy having fun together. We actually do stuff together and laugh. And we're you know, like, we went to the Leafs game, and something we wanted to do for a long time. Christine is, like, a big sports fan, and she loves sports. So she's always said throughout the years, "Oh, we should go to a Leafs game sometime." But it's always been kind of tight, and we couldn't afford it, really, you know, because that's expensive to go to a game. But like, we were in a place now where we financially could afford to go, and I was just thinking of all this goodness that we had in our life. And that night just was kind of like a really beautiful snapshot for me of the goodness of God to us. Just being there as a family, I felt satisfied. I felt satisfied. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to have a satisfying joy. One that puts a silly grin on your face and makes people ask, "What are you smiling about?" God wants that for you. And the way we get it really is in His presence. The way we get it is from being with Him. It's what God wants for us, to give us in His presence. Fullness or satisfaction in the joy that He brings. And if we stay by His side, the Bible says we can have pleasure forevermore. Right? Pleasures are by your side forever. So, that's awesome. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, Now the Lord, in this passage, is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there's freedom. So notice in this verse it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, right? So it's specifically talking about God being in a certain place at that time. It's not talking about the omnipresence of God, because it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So if God's omnipresence brought on this kind of freedom, everybody would be free, right? We wouldn't have selfishness. We wouldn't have addictions. We wouldn't have people in jail. We wouldn't have all these things. If omnipresence was all we needed, then it wouldn't really be, we wouldn't have the problems we have in this world. But when we're in the presence of the Lord, right, it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. This is what Matthew Henry's commentary describes as freedom. So it's old kind of English. Bear with me. I'll try and explain it when I'm done reading this. It's freedom from the yoke of the ceremonial law, and from the servitude of corruption, liberty of access to God, and freedom of speech and prayer. The heart is set at liberty and enlarged to run the ways of God's commandments. They have light, for with open face we behold the glory of God. And again, right, open face. I love that. It's look at me, look at me. So it's talking about freedom from something, right? Freedom from being all legalistic and living, being afraid of God and living by rules because you're so worried about being hurt by Him. But instead, it says that you could be free from something, but you could be free to something too. And the thing we can be free to is we can be free to have a relationship with God. One that's open and honest. One that we can be straightforward with Him and He can talk to us. You know that God talks to us. We talked about this last year. God still speaks. If you don't believe it, just talk to me afterwards. I'll get you set up with some good books and you read and you'll figure out that God is still speaking. This, like, God not speaking is just a new kind of, like, over the last 75 years, we've kind of come to this place where we're too logical to hear God speak. God speaks. In the early 1900s, all the hymns were like about God walking with us and talking with us. So God speaks and we can speak and we can have a full relationship with Him. That's what this freedom is about. Not only just being free from all the law, but being free to live with our whole hearts before God. See, as soon as I fell in love with Christine, she didn't have to tell me how to behave in her presence. She didn't have to tell me to be nice. She didn't have to tell me to dress up a little bit, to put on some deodorant, to brush my teeth. Like, I wanted to please her. That's what I wanted because I fell in love with her, right? But when we live under the law, we do these things because we have to, right? So God set us free from having to, and He set us free to want to, right? So this is what happens in the presence of God. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, this is a common scripture. People have read it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Again, we're dwelling in His presence, in His secret place, in a place of intimacy with God. When you see that phrase, in the secret place of the Most High, it's not just a big open world. It's a place of intimacy with God. And it's talking about that. And it gives us, it says in here, right, that when we dwell in His presence, it gives us the boldness and the understanding to say that He is mine. Right? He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my rock. He is mine. Isn't that awesome? That we can say He is mine? He's not just something distant. He's not something that's unattainable, but He is mine. He's my God. I can have a relationship with Him. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we push into a relationship with God? And it says when we do that, we can completely and utterly trust Him. Right? We can trust God. When we dwell in His secret place, we can trust in Him. You know, it's easy to say I have faith. It's easy to say I trust God. But the real test of trusting God is leaving something to Him, right? Committing something to Him, right? Trusting something to the Lord and believing that what He is saying is true. It's entrusting a thing to Him and then not trying to think of a plan B in case trusting God doesn't work. Have you ever done that? Right? We trust God, but then we have another plan in case that doesn't work. It sounds funny, but like if we're all honest, deep down inside, we know it's true, right? Like we have plan B all the time, just in case this whole God thing doesn't work. But when we learn to trust in Him, we know it does work. I was thinking about, while I was preparing this, about Jamie. And Jamie went through cancer, really serious cancer at a really young age. And about a year and a half ago, I think, he got kicked by a donkey, right? And he broke his femur. And like everybody, the doctors were worried that because it broke where it broke, it's not a common place for it to break, that it was possible he had cancer again in the bone. And so like Jen and Jamie and the family and myself, we had, you know, a time of really having to lean into God and trust Him, right? And which I saw you guys do with great faith and trust, right? So after he had treatment for cancer, his hip was all mushy. Like, that's what he says, right? Like, when they did the x-rays, and nothing looked solid, right? So he had that femur break. They put a pin in. It wasn't cancer, praise God. But like, when he healed from that, Now they do x-rays on his hip, and it's all solid, and it's all healed, and it's all back the way it should be. And it's like, cool, right? When we learn to trust in God, we know that he'll take care of us. That's an amazing testimony, right? Like, I remember, like, I knew Jamie when he was a little kid, like Jackson, right? But we lost touch for a while. And then I heard he had cancer. I heard it was really, really bad. And today he's here, and they have little Jackson, who they said that they probably couldn't have, and he's like a year and a half, 2 years now, right? He's two now, right? And he's healthy, and he's it's amazing. God is good. We can trust in him. Do you know that? You can trust in him. If we dwell in the secret place in the Most High, we can live in the shadow of the Almighty. We can trust, and we can say, he is mine. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. In him I trust. That's awesome. And then Psalm 91, verse 14 and 16 says, because he has set his love upon me. That's us setting our love upon God, right? Therefore, I will deliver him, right? When we live in his presence, he will deliver us. He will set us on high because we have known his name. We will call upon him and he will answer us. He will be with us when we're in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us with long life. He will satisfy us and show us his salvation. So good. So good. Aren't you happy? I'm happy. As I study this, I just get happier. So, in intimacy with God, when we dwell with him in his manifest presence, all the big things in life get taken care of. He hears us. And how many of us have ever asked God, are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? Well, I'll tell you, he hears you. And when he hears you, he answers. That's what the promise in the Bible said. You will never be alone no matter what you're going through. You're going to go through stuff. It's part of life. You're going to go through stuff, but you're never going to go through it alone, right? And not only will he be with you, but the promise is he'll bring you through. Through your troubles into a place of victory. He will honor you, right? We're supposed to honor God, but isn't it cool that he'll honor us? We sing that song, and it's that scripture, right, about, right, but it's about God showing, like saying, well done. We just sang that this morning. My good and faithful servant, enter into my rest, right? Like, that's honoring. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to standing before God someday and having him say, well done. That's what I'm living my life for. That's why I live. That's why I get up every morning. It's to serve him and please him so that one day I'll stand before him and he'll say, well done. I know he's saying it now, but I want to hear. I want to look in his face. I want him to say, look at me. Look at me, right? You did good. I'm proud of you, boy. I'm looking forward to that. That's my heart, right? He wants to do that. He will satisfy us, again, satisfy, right, with long life and show us his salvation. I think that covers a lot of things just about his manifest presence. But I only just scratched the surface. That's only a few scriptures I'm trying to rush through this morning so we have time to pray. But you can study. You can find out what it is to live in his presence. And there's a lot of benefit to it. We should look at it. But over this next little while, I'm going to talk about how to live in the presence of God. But this is the one thing, the phrase that God dropped into my heart when I was studying. And I want you to hear this. This is not a worthiness thing because none of us is worthy. This is not a worthiness thing. It's a positioning thing. We have to position ourselves in the presence of God. It's placing ourselves in a close proximity to God. When I was a kid, growing up in the charismatic revival, people used to say, you know, stay close to the spout where the glory comes out, right? And that's a really true thing. It's staying close to God. It's living in intimacy with God. This is not, I was bad today, so I don't deserve it. Because none of us deserve it. If you think you deserve it, you're the worst one in the place, I'm telling you. You're proud, you're arrogant, and you need a really serious kick, right? But we don't deserve it, but the promise is Jesus paid the price so we could do it. So we just need to draw near to God, draw near by His name. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about how to stay near to God. But this morning, I just want to close, and we're just going to go from this time into a time of prayer for you. So if you're here as a family this morning, you're welcome to come up as a family. If you're here and you're single this morning, you know, and grab a family. You belong. This is what we believe, right? We believe this. So grab a family. Become part of a family. Take hold of someone. Or grab a couple of your friends and come up together. We'll pray for you. But I really want you to come up and receive prayer. And we want to trust God that God's going to do something good in you. We have some music we're going to play so the worship team can just relax and enjoy a time of ministry too. If we could have the ushers go down and grab the kids. They're already gone. All right, somebody's already gone to do that. I just want you to close your eyes. We're just going to, if you could start playing that music. Is it there? Okay, it should be on the screen, Prayer Sunday. So what I want you to do, though, is I want you to bow your heads and just ask the Holy Spirit what He wants to say to you this morning in the service. And then once we get this music going, if you want, you can just come on up as families. I'm going to ask Pastor Bob and Lorraine and Pastor Frieda to come on up, Nick, to pray and just trust God that you're going to receive the blessing of the Lord this coming year. Up, pray for you. Don't be shy. Nothing bad's gonna happen.